Hello and welcome to the children of Ignite, to the recording for Sunday the 27th of June 2021. You can be listening to this, which is fine, or you could be going into church. We are now holding services for young people. If your parents are ready for you to come back, then that would be great. It'll be really lovely to see you all in church. From now on, we'll be making sure there are Sunday school classes that are run by the same teachers that you know and love, and we hope to see you there. Let's see whether you can think what country I am thinking of. This country is in southeastern Europe, and it begins with the letter R. Like R as in Rover. So just in case my accent is not clear. For 4 points, okay, they've got some hard names here. There's a river that runs through the capital city of this town, and that river is called Dumbrovita. Hopefully I've said it right. For 3 points, the Parliament Palace is the second largest building in the world, and it's found in this country. It's second only to the Pentagon in America, and it is the heaviest building in the world. Okay, this country's capital city is Bucharest. That's for 2 points. And the final clue, which might give you more of a clue as to the name of this country, is the meaning of the name of the country means a citizen of the Roman Empire. So can you guess what country I'm thinking of? It is Romania. So I thought it was really quite interesting. In Bucharest, there is a city, there is a road. The first road that was ever built in Bucharest is called Calea Victoria, and it was initially called the Wooden Road because it was paved with tree trunks and planks on the road. Famous people from Romania, a guy called Francisco Ili, who was born in Romania, and he invented the first automatic steam espresso coffee machine. So I think a lot of parents out there would be very happy with that. So that's it. That's Romania. I hope you've learned some interesting facts. And if it's made you want to find out more about Romania, that too is fine. Okay, so today's miracle that we're looking at that Jesus did while he was here on earth is about Jesus opening the eyes of two blind men. And it's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, starting from verse 27. And the Bible says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. I bet they couldn't help it. Right, so we don't know a lot about these blind men. We don't know when they were blind, why they were blind, or, you know, what it was that made them to be blind. But I'm thinking here of being blind as being not necessarily being able to see physically, but not being aware of the things around us. So some of us do have a sense of blindness in our lives where we see things, but we might not fully understand them, or we see things, but we don't really get them. We don't, you know, Like if you say, oh, does your sister love you, to a child, they might say no, because they can't see the love that that sister might have for them. Or does your brother love you? Or do your mum and dad love you? Because you can't quite see all the little things that they do to make your life happier or to make your life work. So we have to be careful that we are not blind, that we do not see things as they really are. Because sometimes our life is good, but we can't see it. And we just can't see it. We just think, oh, this bad thing is happening to me and that bad thing and this is going horribly wrong or whatever else. But we have to really try to open our eyes to see the world the way God sees it. Because if we could do that, then we would fully understand why we have the teachers we have or the parents we have or why our brother or sister behaves the way they do. And we can see beyond that to the love that God has for that person. Even the man on the street, if we could see the love that God has for that person, the plans and the intentions and the good things that God wants to bring out of that person, it would make us react to that person in a completely different way. So we should really, really try to ask God to open our eyes. Because each and every one of us has a form of blindness, either in the things around us or to people around us. So these two men came to Jesus and they were asking for mercy. And mercy is one of those words that we use a lot in our Christian life. And we might not know exactly what it means. So mercy, the dictionary says, is showing compassion or forgiveness to someone else who it is within your power to punish or harm. So let's say somebody took something that was yours, and then you found out about it, and you found out who it is, and you got your thing back. But you would have the right to punish that person because they've done something bad and something wrong. But if you showed mercy, then you are understanding of why they did it, maybe, and you are willing to let the whole thing go and not think about it again. You're willing to forgive them. And you're willing to show compassion. And compassion means trying to understand things from the other person's point of view. You might remember that we talked about Jesus having compassion on a widow's son when he had died and they were on their way to bury him. And Jesus had compassion on that woman. He understood what her situation was. He understood how difficult life was going to be for her without her son. And because of that, he acted. So he did, that's not quite mercy because he didn't have the right to punish that woman. And whether she needed punishing or not, I do not know. But Jesus showed compassion. So mercy is somewhere where you have the power to punish someone, but you choose not to. You choose to let them go and you show compassion and forgiveness. So I hope that explains that. And they were calling for mercy and Jesus felt sorry for them. And he felt like he wanted to do something to help them out. And that is what compassion does. Mercy is an action. You can't just sort of say you have mercy on someone and then leave it there. It's not a word. It is an action. You have to either let that person go or forgive them or do something to show that you understand where they are coming from. And remember, it's somebody that you have the power or the right to punish them, but you choose not to. In the olden days, a king might have power over subjects or people that were in his town or city, and he could show mercy. Instead of punishing them or killing them or anything like that, he might show mercy and let them go and say, no, you are pardoned. That means that everything you have done wrong is wiped away and you can start again as if you haven't done anything wrong. And that is what mercy is. And we see here these two men give Jesus a title. They say, have mercy on us, son of David. Now, calling Jesus the son of David, this is sort of putting Jesus in the same boat as them, sort of saying, you are one of us. You are a child of King David. You are in his bloodline like we are. So you have to understand our position because we are the same. And sometimes we need people to get that. Sometimes we need people to come alongside us and to say that, look, we are related in one way or the other. And therefore, my concerns are your concerns. The things that affect me should affect you. And that's what they were relying on. They were relying on Jesus understanding their situation and deciding to get involved. And we have to try and look at the world like that too. We have to try and get involved in things going on around us. It might be the picnic from yesterday. It might be other church activities. It might be activities at school or at home. But everybody has a part to play. And if everybody plays their part, then things will work out well and things will go well and things will be a blessing to people. So we have to try and look at ourselves in relation to other people and try and get in the same boat as them and try and understand what they are going through. That's showing compassion again. Trying to understand how they might feel. Like if you have somebody new at school and they don't have any friends, how would you feel if you were in that position? And because of that, if you truly understand how that person would feel, then you would treat them differently. You would treat them with more love and you would show them, you would be more thoughtful and show them some love. Okay, so they gave Jesus this title of saying, son of David, meaning you are one of us. And Jesus asked them that, do you believe that I can do this? And sometimes we need to ask ourselves what we believe. Because why should these blind men believe in Jesus? They haven't seen him. They haven't seen any of the miracles he's done. But maybe they've heard about him. And maybe they know something about him. And when he asks them that, they say, yes, we believe. We do believe. We do believe that you can do something, that you can help us, that you are able to do great things. And we have to be the same. We have to believe in Jesus. We have to listen out for what Jesus has done for other people. We have to read in the Bible the great things that he has done, the power of Jesus, the power of God in our lives. We have to believe that those things apply not just to the church, but they apply to us. If Jesus were to ask us that, do you believe I can do this? Do you believe I can provide for you when you don't have enough? Do you believe that I am able to give you comfort when you are sad or make you happy? And they said, yes, we believe. And so he touched their eyes and he said to them, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And that is very much what happens to us sometimes, that we get things from God according to our faith. So if we only have a little bit of faith, if we think, oh, well, the sun shone just because the sun shone, you know, I've got this, that and the other because it came from my mom and dad. God had nothing to do with it. That is according to the faith that you have at that time. So the joy that you might get might be related to that. But if you truly believe that Jesus woke you up this morning, that he's giving you every breath that you breathe, that he's making your heart beat, and that he is there giving you everything that you need, even if it comes through your mom and dad or other people in your lives, that is your faith. So your level of faith will be very much bigger than the first person. And the miracles and the things that happen to you will be according to that faith, which is why it is so important that when we can, we should talk about Jesus, we should listen to things about Jesus, we should read our Bibles, we should come to church, we should try to grow our faith so that we believe in the things that Jesus did more and more every day. We should test these things out. We should say, Jesus, show me that you are real. Show me that you have done miracles. Show me, show me, show me. And he will. And when he does that, it'll grow your faith and it'll help you to have bigger faith in Jesus. So that when he says, according to your faith, it'll be done to you, that faith will be really big. And you'll be trusting God and believing in Jesus for greater things than anyone else. Because we can have as much as what we believe we can have. I might need to put petrol in my car, and I could believe Jesus for that. I don't believe in the money that I have in the bank or anything else. I believe that Jesus is the one who provides for me. He gives me the strength to go to work, and from that work, I get money. But that money doesn't come from my work. It comes from the strength that I get from God and the way he helps my body to work, to process the food that I eat. All of that is a miracle. It's amazing how the human body works. The fact that I can tell my foot, step forward, and it does it. That's a miracle. That's amazing. That's really awesome. And so my faith really grows and grows every day that I am alive, every day that I see another beautiful dawn or another sunshine or another even day of rain and wet weather. Then I grow my faith and I believe God that, you know, he will keep me alive and he provides for me. And then once they've received their sight, Jesus says to them, do not let anyone know about this. Now, it's quite a puzzle, really. Jesus does this a few times, and we don't always know why he didn't want lots of people to know about him. Maybe he didn't want to be surrounded by people wanting things from him all the time. Or maybe he just wasn't ready for that fame and to be treated like a celebrity and to have thousands of people chasing after him. They didn't have cameras, but, you know, they would have tried to find another way to pester him. And maybe that's what he was avoiding. But we have to, when Jesus does great things in our lives and when God has moved in our life and has done something, we do need to shout it from the rooftops. And we can't help ourselves, just like these two blind men could not help themselves. When God has done great things for you, you should really take your time to shout it out from the rooftops and to thank God and to glorify his name and to lift him up on high and to say, yes, you know, I didn't have this, and now because of God, I have that. Or I felt bad in the morning, but because of God, now I feel better. Or like me, I could say I had my COVID jab, and to the glory of God and because of God in my life, I don't have any bad symptoms from it. You know, so it's everyday things that we can thank God for, that we need to stop being blind and to open our eyes to see Jesus moving about in our day, walking through our lives and doing amazing things. Great things, even giving us friends, giving us a great day with our mom or dad and things like that. You know, all of those are miracles and amazing things that we can just thank God for and just know that he is doing great things in our lives. So don't be like the blind men who didn't have any sight. Make sure that your sight looks out around you to other people and just see the great things that
Jesus is doing in your life, even the secret ones that he doesn't want us to tell other people about. But you can just take time to say, thank you, Jesus. I see you in my life, and I see you have done this or that or the other. Well, I hope you enjoyed looking at that. Quite a nice little miracle right there. And I felt like there was quite a lot to learn from it. So do take care. God bless you, and I hope to see you in church very soon.